Thank you, Brother Paul, for trusting me with the ministry that our Lord holds you and these other teacher brethren responsible to Him. I hold you accountable for it, and I do not take it lightly nor for granted. Thank you for trusting me. They preach the word. I'm going to change a couple of words here to make it personal and applicable to us. And they had preached. They went down to Adela and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And I think I would be welcome here to practice this last verse. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. And Sister Dorothy's always made us comfortable around her, but especially in the home. Thank you, Sister. If you're trying to make me feel comfortable and at home, you're successful. I'm very relaxed. Well, maybe a little too much, start acting like family. But anyway, in response to the Elder Paul Jordan's request, not reluctantly, I would like to share with you a little bit of some of the works the Lord's led us in. First, I want to preface it with the word missions, missionary, mission work, is not in the Bible, the Old or the New Testament. Now, the ministry is there, and the ministers are there. But as I chose, I started to begin my reading in Acts 13, the first part, but I chose to close out Acts 14, the last part. And the ministry is out from the church, or churches, as your pastor does, off on a journey for the Lord, and then back to give an accountable report. I think that's God's primary way. Seems to bless us in it, and we're grateful and thankful for it. We first began to go out from the church with the gospel into foreign lands in 1974. I began preaching in the late 60s. In 1974, we went on a trip to the Greater Antilles. You'll recognize the name of the island, Jamaica. A couple of old friends, Jesse Norris and Gene Williams, had some meetings in towns, down in Kingston, actually, in another place. And some of the mountain preachers came down and wanted someone to go back in there. It was my great joy to be one of those fellas and had a wonderful time. There are no original inhabitants of the island of Jamaica. The Spaniards sought to exterminate them because they don't make good slaves except on the credit system, like Americans. And some of the swifter ones escaped back in to the Central Mountains. They brought Africans in, and some of them escaped back into the Central Mountains, and they mixed back in there. The outsiders call it cockpit country, I assume, because they're like roosters. They just square off and fight. Now, they do that occasionally, but the insiders, the people that live there, call it maroon territory. They're marooned back in there, and still are, to a certain degree, so much so that traveling from one place to the other, way in the mountains, had a couple of rocks there and some sledgehammers and shovels, and the fellow was filling up holes in the road. And he would collect a toll from the driver. Well, the driver's a Jamaican man born and raised, and he knew all the ins and outs, and he refused. And he said, me, I'm a special passenger. He peeped and looked at me, and he said, that don't fix the road. The government would not go back in there and fix the road, so the people that lived there had to do something. They took it on themselves. But and then Brother Douglas stood his ground. He wouldn't pay a toll to travel on a public road. We preached the gospel back in there many, many times and had some good success. Actually, for me, is what we would call noticeable evidence of a move of God. It's been more so there in those Central Mountains than anywhere I've ever preached. And I've been able to go back several times and have children and grandchildren of some of those converts that are personal dear friends. And then we went on to other places I could brief. But we have concentrated in last years on the little tiny island of Dominica. Now, not Dominican Republic, it's on south then east back in the Atlantic. And then after we were there for a few years working with the Dominicans, which are African transplants, we found that there's a territory back in there of the original Indians of that part of the world, the Carib Indians. And the Lord opened us a door of utterance back in there a few years ago, and it's been very, very fruitful and challenging. But the elder pastor had high blood pressure and extremely high sugar. And the stresses of the ministry and everything back in that those mountains are either sweet or high in starch. And that goes against diabetes. Well, his diabetes got up so much. Looking back, the doctors determined that's what it was. His kidneys shut out. By the time they got him down, way down into the capital city where the hospital is, they'd already gone. Well, some of you medical, there's a word they call for that when your system is poisoned because the kidneys don't run. I know it. Septic. Septic, is that the word? And his system just poisoned. The doctor explained to the widow that there would be no hope for him even in America. With the doctors, surgeon specialists there, and the kidney ready, there would be no hope for him. His system's already poisoned, and he died. And so sometimes in my ministry, when the pastor or elder is moved or dies off, sometimes that cuts that ministry with a church. Sometimes it doesn't. And I concerned myself with that, and I've made contact with some of the people, and they told me the church was disbanding. It was a great, great blow. We had met with them several times, had made collections to purchase a piece of property and register it to the name of the church, and helped out with some materials. And some churches had helped out to purchase a gasoline-operated cement mixer so they wouldn't have to do everything by hand. And it just seemed like all that was stopped. Well, to make a long story short, when I began to really get serious in prayer and going back, I went in there and disappointed. I just saw this a couple of people and had to go on. Next time my purpose to get back in there and go to the people I first was acquainted with. And the church was still meeting. The church was meeting in a widow woman's home. That's the place they had to meet. And so my disappointment turned to joy. And their disappointment that I had forsaken them turned to joy. And so pray for us as we enter on into that ministry. It's been very, very fruitful for us. Most white people don't ever go back in there. And some that do, it's very, very difficult and a little dangerous to have an open-air meeting. But not if the, what's the big word, Brother Paul? The indigenous people, those native people, they'll have a meeting and they live it. One of the elders challenged them one night. He said, and you notice and take notice, we are not playing as some of you suppose. You think we're playing? Watch us tomorrow and see how we walk. What a challenge. What a challenge. And I could go on and on and on. A big plus for me, and I'm very, very glad of it. One of the churches is beginning to go into these rural areas where there's a little village and preach. Now, this is not a new thing, but they begin that. And sometimes the church is born by this invitation. This is my invitation or appeal. If you have believed us, invite us into your home. We can discuss it further. Sometimes, brother, the church is born right there. Sometimes not. And this church is doing that. Brother Christopher Paquette is the bishop. Now, not like the whore and her harlot daughters. But he got more scripture for that than we do, calling ourselves pastor, if you understand it. The last two or three times we've been down there, one time we asked if we could have a joint meeting of the churches, and did. Now they've taken it on themselves, and it becomes a mini-conference for the weekend. And they have taken it on themselves. A brother has volunteered to coordinate for us. That was such a blessing. I mean, it's a long story behind some of these things. But the time that he did that, I wrote letters to four of the pastors that we'd been there at the beginnings of the church and helped out some. I wrote letters and sent it to those four brothers and to Brother Perseus Thomas, telling them he would be our coordinator And he had me scheduled to preach in 8 churches, Brother D.D., and I hoped for 4. And bear with me in my folly. Of those 8, we had been there in the beginnings of it. And my wife said, "You just hint around and stuff. Why don't you go in and tell the people how many churches you've helped start?" Well, we began with the Americanized way of doing it. I called it religious colonialism now. And all of them were churches. And I show pictures of our great success, but I could show pictures of 2 places, 3 places, where it was a dilemma. When the white boy with his money got out of it, it wouldn't stand. And actually, we're thankful to the Lord for that. Oh, I could go on and on. Let me stop. And if you have any questions. Pray for us. We do not take this. I do not take this down together with you lightly nor for granted. I know where I'm at. I appreciate the fellowship with Brother Paul and Sister Dorothy. And let me say to the saints, thank you for sharing them with other churches. Their ministry is much needed in other places. Encourage them to contact a particular brother that we have good fellowship with, and they've been there and preached. And he said he'd been thinking about calling him. I said, "Call the brother. He's a younger brother. And sometimes he feels like Elijah. He's out there by himself." And it seems like that, brother. But that's not really true. It just seems like that. And this is my idea on that. If you're not willing to stand by yourself in Christ, you won't be stable. You'll flip and flop. But when we get to that place, it's of God. This is of God. This is a work of God. He's brought me this far by His providence, by His power. I can trust Him. Stand faithful. Stand firm there.